wazobona wazobuka wazobona wazobuka izodlala iTV
uzaphe ready ngeke idlale iTV if you love iDisc and don't have iDS. That's why you should get DStv Compact so you can view live festive and super disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DStv Compact. Hey, kumnandi khaya.
Good afternoon and welcome to the big interview brought to you by DStv Compact. We saw an interesting transfer window transpire this past January with some last minute transfer activity, some surprise moves, and if that wasn't enough, just after it ended, Chiefs were served a transfer ban. Well, I got noted player agent Mike McCabe on the line to discuss some of the moves that were made, his career in the business, and how the Chiefs ban impacts agents and players across the country. I am your host, Slu Paho, and this is Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Who will be Dikakapa Tsadiski on the Absa Premiership? Will a Super Diski to find out? Catch over 200 Absa Premiership matches, all live and in HD, only on SuperSport. Don't miss any action. Will a Diski on DStv Compact. Kumnande kaya. All right, so you've been in player management for many years. How has managing a professional player's career evolved from the early days to doing it now?
I think there are new challenges today. I don't think, when you say evolved, I think the basis of managing a player's career has always been the same, and that is to try and provide an holistic service, a 360-degree service, both off the field and on the field where obviously it's possible, to ensure that the player can really focus on performing to his or her greatest potential. I think that's the key. The key is you know, often player agents are put in this basket of deal brokers. Deal brokering is one thing, but then the rest that goes with it, I believe, is as important, if not more important. And that's where I honestly believe a lot of agencies fall short.
Do you think that there are agents in this country and on the continent who kind of tarnish the name for agents and take advantage of players?
I think in any industry, you will get those that will tarnish the reputation of that particular industry and the participants. So I think it would be unfair to say that, you know, those sort of people only exist in football agency. But yes, of course, there are. Individuals and sometimes even companies throughout the world in the football industry, particularly the agency business, because you're specifically speaking about it, that will give the industry a bad reputation.
So with the transfer window having recently shut, what was the most exciting piece of business that you did over the January period?
The most crazy piece of business was Lorenzo Gardenia, because he was all set to go on Bloemfontein Celtic on loan. Mm-hmm. As you know, he had been to Celtic previously, had really enjoyed his spell there, and the club loved him and he loved the club. But Celtic were looking for a long-term deal with him, so a loan with an option. Renzo's just started a family and his family are based in Johannesburg, so it was always going to be very difficult for us to do that. But Vetsitz stepped in. And, you know, surprisingly, because as you know, they've got two very talented central defenders in Tolani Slatswai and Butlem Konazi. Surprisingly, they stepped in, and I now understand why they did, because they obviously wanted to experiment with Slatswai in a different position. So that deal literally happened within 48 hours. And then the Zunga deal from Stellenbosch to Pirates happened within 24 hours. So when you say exciting maybe for the wrong reasons, because it was high pressure and totally unexpected, and decisions had to be made literally overnight.
Do you think that the Gordinho deal is maybe a blessing in disguise? He gets to learn from someone who's a national team captain, senior players, and kind of at a higher level. You know, Vits have recently competed in a continental tournament.
Yes, I think, you know, it's always going to be important for football players to learn, irrespective of how old they are and how much experience they have. You know, when Jurgen Klopp moved to Liverpool, a lot of the senior players said that they've learned so much from him. And we're talking about players that have been in the game for over a decade. I think it's always important to be willing to learn. In the case of Lorenzo Gordillo, you know, he's got Boutle and he's got Tolani, who are both national team players. And as you rightly said, Tolani's our captain. And even though in his own right, Lorenzo is an experienced footballer, having made his debut as a teenager for Kaizer Chiefs, I think it's wonderful for a guy like him to be thrown into a team which has two very talented players and who can offer a lot of advice and experience to Lorenzo.
Furthermore, he's also going to be working under Gavin Hunt, who is kind of famed for helping mold a lot of players. What can you say about his qualities as a manager that Gordinho will benefit from?
Well, first and foremost, I think his record speaks for itself. Gavin's won many, many trophies. He's done unbelievably well wherever he's gone. People forget how well he did at Black Leopards. I just think that Gavin was a defender himself. Played at the highest level in this country. So I think that, you know, he will impart loads of knowledge into Lorenzo. What we've all noticed about Gavin's teams, they're always well organized, well structured, tactically very, very sound. And, you know, I think that if Lorenzo can learn anything, and I'm sure he is going to, it'll be to play under a coach who puts a lot of emphasis on structure and discipline.
What were some of the other deals that didn't happen in the window that you were maybe disappointed that they didn't go through?
None, to be honest with you. You know, there was a lot of talk about Nolege Musonda coming back to South Africa. And while there was a possibility, we always felt that Nolege should still try and play and ply his trade in Europe. He had two great seasons with West End. Unfortunately, moved to Anderlecht, and I think that changed three managers or four managers within a very short period of time, including the sports director. And so Nolege was left out in the cold, and plus he picked up an injury. So Nolege, there was talk that Nolege was going to, come back to South Africa in the media. I'd been asked the same question day in and day out. And I think at the end of it all, the decision for him to stay in Belgium and go on loan to Eupen was the right one. So, no, we never had any disappointments, thankfully. But believe me, we've had our fair share in the 22 years I've been operating in this industry.
So you've moved many players overseas. What are the differences between dealing with clubs that are based overseas to dealing with PSL clubs?
You know, I must be honest with you. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, I think that the PSL has matured remarkably over the last decade, particularly when you're dealing with clubs who are really professional in their approach. So the differences are not that wide, to be honest with you. I think the major difference is the fact that the majority of clubs in Europe have a sports director, and that sports director is responsible for negotiating the majority of the deals, transfers that come in and out of the club. Obviously, there's many other factors that are taken into account. The technical staff will give their input. The owner will give his input. And I'm sure there is a committee that sits and discusses these things. But ultimately, you deal with a sports director in Europe. In South Africa, you deal with a boss.
Mm. The boss, do you refer to the chairman when you speak?
Well, in certain clubs, yes. I deal with the chairman of most of the clubs. But in other clubs, I deal with the CEO, the chief executive officer, and sometimes even with the general manager. But it's mainly in South Africa, mainly with club chairman, and then on a few occasions with CEOs.
You know, we've heard rumors and stories of certain clubs and chairmen blankly refusing to deal with agents and only wanting to deal with the player directly. Have you ever experienced anything like this in your time?
No. I think, listen, initially, yes. don't forget that I say this humbly, I was the first licensed agent, FIFA licensed agent in South Africa. So you can imagine when this crazy former Orlando Pirates football coach happened to walk through the door to try and start negotiating deals for players, it was alien to clubs. So it was very tough in the beginning, extremely tough. But I think as you go through the experience and you build credibility and club chairmen in particular understand that you're coming from a fairly unbiased viewpoint and you understand the industry, it gets a lot easier, although it never becomes that easy. I have a working relationship with every single football club chairman in the Premier Soccer League.
Excellent. So as more and more agents in South Africa have kind of entered the fray, we've seen and heard stories of player managers and agents trying to steal players from each other and make big promises to players to make them jump ship. How ugly is it out there?
It is. It's very, very competitive. And a lot has to do, in my opinion, with the... I don't want to say lack of education, but lack of understanding of what's really important in one's career. You know, often you hear of a football player moving to an agent because he's been promised a pair of boots, or the family's been promised a gift. And the truth is, that should not be the overriding factor when it comes to a football player deciding on who he wants to represent his career. It should be based on the most important thing, and that is that the person or the company that you entrust to represent your career must have integrity, they must have a great understanding of the industry, professionalism, obviously, enthusiasm, a whole host of things, but most importantly, must have your career and the full picture of your career in their sights. And I think that's the important thing. But jumping ship, goodness me, it happens every day.
And speaking of jumping ship, we're seeing kind of fewer and fewer players making the jump from the PSL to the top five leagues in Europe. In the 2000s, we had plenty. Why do you think we're not seeing players make the grade there anymore, and instead they're kind of going to smaller, less known leagues?
Okay, so I think there's a number of reasons. I think it's not only a stat that exists in South Africa. I think if you look at the whole of Africa, there's been a definite decline in the number of players making the grade at the highest level in European football. I think a lot has to do with the fact that some years ago, FIFA extended the age that players were allowed to move from one country to another to 18. In the past, it was a lot younger. And the reason I did that was quite rightly so, because what was happening was that people were being taken, or youngsters were being taken by so-called agents into Europe, and if they weren't successful, just left to roam the streets. So FIFA had to step in and do something about that. I think that for African football to flourish, they're going to have to change that again, and I really mean that. They're going to have to reduce the age to maybe 16, but with strict, stringent conditions. And I think, so that's one of the reasons, there's no doubt about that. If we come particularly to our country, to South Africa, well, you know, we have a pretty rich league where the top players can make serious money. And the other thing is, a transfer market has been created in South Africa by some of the bigger clubs where, the clubs that are selling players are saying, well, if I can get 15 million rand from a South African football club, why should I accept 300,000 euros from a European football club? And I think that the mix of the fact that we live in a beautiful country where if you're earning a good income, you can really live a fantastic life, coupled with the fact that we have a very vibrant and strong transfer market, and I think it will change, but a very vibrant and strong transfer market makes it that more difficult for players to move into Europe. Either they don't have that same drive and ambition, or it's the fact that their transfer fees are set too high. And don't forget, they're competing against other African countries and Eastern European countries and South American countries and all those players that are looking to ply their trade in the big five and in Europe. So it's become extremely tough out there.
Now, you've moved a number of players overseas. Without pitting different types of players against each other unnecessarily, who would you say was the most successful of the players that you've shipped over abroad?
Oh, very difficult to say because Dikashwa played in the Premiership, Basuma played in the Premiership, Mabizela. I don't even want to talk about Mabizela.
OJ.
Probably the most talented player I've ever laid my eyes on. Straight from Orlando Pirates into the starting lineup at Tottenham Hotspur at the age of 22 or 23 years old.
Scored on debut, if I believe.
Yeah, exactly, against Leicester City. Played on the biggest stage in the world, in the EPL. He has to be probably the most exciting player that we've managed. Exciting, but obviously didn't realize his full potential. Siyabonga Mbeki, unfortunately, if he hadn't been injured and hadn't been pulled away to play in the African Cup of Nations, he was a start at Udinese in the Serie A in Italy. Nasif Morris played in the Spanish La Liga. Tsepo Masilela played in the Spanish La Liga. There's a whole host of them. But I'd have to say most talented, OJ.
So and it must be just disappointing just knowing how far he could have gone, especially at a club like Tottenham.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is that I have a picture in my boardroom. I'm actually going to walk across there right now and I'm going to describe it to you. So I have a picture in my boardroom of Mabizela challenging Cristiano Ronaldo. Mabizela in a Spurs top and Ronaldo in a United top. Now, I was at White Hart Lane when OJ had his last trial match in front of a capacity crowd. It was a friendly, and Sporting Lisbon played against Tottenham Hotspur. And Glenn Hoddle played three at the back with Mabizela on the right of the back three. And Sporting Lisbon played three up front with Cristiano Ronaldo on the left of the front three. So often, during the course of the game, OJ was pulled into wide spaces by a Ronaldo. And not once did Cristiano Ronaldo go past him. So much so that 5 minutes ago, they pulled OJ off to a standing ovation. Ronaldo was signed by United and OJ was signed by Spurs. We actually did the deal on that Monday. The rest is history. All know what Cristiano Ronaldo has achieved.
Indeed, we do. One of the greatest of all time. Here's a hypothetical question. Do clubs in the PSL tend to inflate player costs in terms of like the signing fee when it's a European club that comes knocking versus when it's a fellow PSL team?
No, I don't think so. I think everything is in proportion. Obviously, European teams, the bigger European teams, will offer bigger packages than the top teams in the PSL. But the top teams in the PSL are very competitive. Even with the smaller teams in the big leagues in Europe. But I just think it's all a relative thing.
Understood. So I recently saw FIFA put out their rankings for clubs, and a lot of North African clubs are ranked higher than even Sundowns. I think Sundowns was seventh ranked in terms of African teams. Is there more of a demand for North and West African players now than South African players in Europe?
Well, you know, I think if you look at the success of Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, and a whole host of other North African players and West African players, it's obvious that they're a great advert at this point for their countries, and therefore scouts will be interested to see if they can find the next Salah or the next Mane. But I do think that Percy Cow. And I don't represent him. I think his exploits in Belgium have resulted in a few teams standing up and taking notice. And I think it won't be long before we start seeing an emergence of young talent in South Africa, again, doing really well in Europe. Nothing would make me happier than to see players playing in the EPL, which is very difficult because of work permit situations, but the EPL, the Bundesliga in France, etc. So it's a case of just believing that we have enough talent here to move forward.
So your son is also now involved in the business, and I think a journal from La Duma actually spoke to him recently, and he discussed this kind of scientific approach to determining which players would make the grade overseas. I wanted to ask if you could expand on that. It almost sounds like the movie Moneyball with formulas for success.
Okay, so first and foremost, I'm not going to even believe that I have the same knowledge on analytics and artificial intelligence and data as the young generation. But let me rather keep it simple and say, yes, we are looking at analysis a lot more than we have in the past. And hopefully it will work for us going forward.
What are your thoughts on the recent Kaizer Chiefs potential transfer ban by FIFA? Does it affect any of the business that you're working on?
I think it affects everybody's business that are involved in South African football and have potential transfers to Kaizer Chiefs. But it's going to be interesting to see how the case ends up. I just hope that sanity prevails and the ban is overturned.
I wanted to ask, what is the strangest request that you've had from one of your players or clients, or the strangest contract dispute that you've had to deal with?
Well, the strange request is asking if I could take their dog to the vet, and I'm not exaggerating. And the strangest contract, if you can repeat that?
The strangest contract disputes.
Strangest contract disputes. Mm. I'm trying to think. Gosh, you're racking my brain here, because I've been in this industry for 22 years, and I haven't had many strange disputes, to be honest. So you've stumped me with that one.
Well, try and come back to that one later. I'm only asking because of the strangeness surrounding the DAX situation.
I've never had one of those, thankfully. But what I have had is I've done a deal for a player who was, in inverted commas, a free agent, only to find out that that player had signed a previous contract with an option, and that the option was exercised and I wasn't informed about it. So that ended up a little bit messy, but we managed to resolve it. No names mentioned.
So, I approached this one with caution. Soccer La Duma recently did a feature with Tsovi Lagazi, one of the PSL's all-time greats. Did it disappoint you that he pointed the finger at you in that feature for... You know, he's saying that you costed him a stay in Europe, a possible return to Pirates.
You know what is so sad? And I mean it absolutely from the depths of my heart. So was like a son to me. As much as I love every single player that I deal with, Siyabonga Nombeti has a special place in my heart, still with me at the age of 41 playing football. So was one of those. Special place in my heart. I worked tirelessly to get him a European deal, and I don't have to tell you, it's never easy to get players out of the top clubs in South Africa into Europe. But Siyabonga was so successful at Aalborg, I managed to convince the chairman, who's always been fair with me when it's come to moving players into Europe. He did the same for OJ, and the late Leslie was on his way to France, Magnetella. So when we moved to Denmark, nobody could have been happier than myself. The truth is, he did have family problems back here, and he was forced to come up and down. But to say that the club had offered to move his entire family to Denmark and wanted to improve his contract, unfortunately, is not the truth. I've recently received an email from the then sports director, Lunga Jakobsen, because I said to him, Lunga, is there something that I was never told about in these dealings? And he said in his email, no, Mark, he said, we had so much hope for Vilakazi to be as successful as Nombeti. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, and we would never, ever have considered extending or improving his contract. And I have that in writing, and I don't even want to pass that on to the media. But it saddens me when players can make statements like that, which are really not truthful. And then the other thing, to say that I hadn't, that he didn't know that I was asking Pirates, Orlando Pirates, for a certain wage, is again totally the untruth. When Sol was coming back to South Africa, I said, for the longevity of his career and possibly a post-career move, I thought it would be important for him to go back to Orlando Pirates because he was a son of Pirates. His exact instruction to me was that I'm not interested in going back unless I earn a certain amount of money. And when the Sundowns deal was placed in front of him, he had absolutely no hesitation in wanting to sign the deal. So to blame me for his shortened career in Europe and for not returning to Orlando Pirates and moving to Sundowns is something which I find unbelievable, to say the least. Unbelievable.
And, you know, apart from Tsoa, there's all of these heroes from yesterday who are, you know, struggling financially today.
Yes.
Guys that were household names playing for the biggest clubs in SA. What do you think is the reason? Is it historic issues or is it just a kind of lack of planning on their part?
You know, I'd like to believe that when a football player plays for a football club, and particularly if he has a long stay at a football club, and he has an agent, that the team, and the team I'm referring to is the football club, the player and the agent, to all have a serious role to play in the planning of a player's career, that they would form a relationship where good advice and sound advice was taken in most instances and applied. Unfortunately, it's not always as easy as it seems. We've had a number of clients, thankfully not too many, have ended up really struggling, and I say that really thankfully. But we've had a number of clients that have taken our advice along the way and planned for their future and life after football and life after, we obviously also look after rugby players and cricketers, etc. Life after sport, in actual fact. And those players are doing really nicely for themselves. I think it's so vital that players understand that they're in a career where their career can end at any time through injury, through lack of demand for their services. And even if they do have a really nice career, a sportsman's career is relatively short. And therefore, it's important for them to be extremely wise with their investments and their financial planning while they still have the ability to earn the money. And at the same time, to plan their life after sport. Sadly, a lot of our players don't want to spend too much time doing that. And I encourage them. I encourage all the youngsters to devote a large portion of their time to planning their future after they finish their careers.
Mm. And, you know, this week we saw the launch of Nedbank's Football Finance Summit. Do you think that maybe this will have a snowball effect, inspiring other corporates to try and help these players with financial literacy?
I'm hoping so. You know, somebody said to me the other day, do you think that we should be looking for grants from the various bodies to assist those players who are destitute? Of course, we should be trying to do things for them, but not money grants. We should be empowering players to do positive stuff. And you know, education is power. And I would love to see some form of program that is instituted from a very young age, from academy age, all the way through and maintained to form a complete person and not just a sports person who really doesn't care about the rest of their life. So I think it's a great initiative and hopefully a lot more corporates will get involved in the initiative. There's another thing that I'd like to mention. For example, in Belgian football, 30% of the player's salary automatically gets deducted. It's taxed at a lower rate, and it gets put into an investment fund, which the player can only draw at age 35.
Interesting. 0%. Well, that's something that should definitely be considered here, I guess, you know.
Most definitely.
We take major strides. Well, Mike, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
And I want to end off with something. It doesn't matter what Benedict Vilakazi has said about me. I truly mean this when I say it. I love the man. Him and I had a great relationship. And in no ways do I ever want to say anything that hurts him or his family. I'd love us all to remember him for being the amazing football player that he was, and he gave us so many hours of enjoyment.
Thank you very much. Those are kind words, and it's been a fantastic interview. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
And that's all for the big interview brought to you by DSTV Compact. Thank you to my guest, Mike McCarb, for joining me on the line. From myself, your host, Lou Paho, and my editors, Simon Strella and Aidan Hewitt, have a fantastic day.
TV. If you love it, Disc and don't have it, DS. That's why you should get DSTV Compact, so you can bula festive and super Disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DSTV Compact. Hey, kumnandi ekhaya.